You are listening to DC On Screen. On this episode, Ray Fisher accusations, WB publicity stunt distractions, Zack Snyder's new Justice League footage, and the $70 million price tag. Former DC Entertainment president Diane Nelson blows Geoff Johns' game up and disappears once more into the shadows, and the John Campia email quote-unquote slip that even the light cast doesn't buy. Plus, Henry Cavill coyly avoids Superman sequel talk. Joel Kinnaman tells us the Suicide Squad is a heavily R-rated monster. The Batman is back in production. Black Adam finds his Hawkman in Aldous Hodge. Supergirl is ending. Harley Quinn is officially renewed. And so much more. God, there's a lot of stuff that wound up happening in 2 weeks. Oh, and there's a big birthday surprise happening for me early on in the show. All that after these words from some people we have no control over. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 614. This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, my cohort, my friend, Jason Goss.
I just thought you were going to mispronounce co-host for a second.
No.
You were on top of it.
I was.
Which as means as per the use.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that now.
now you've
gone off into some strange land of hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon. Thank you guys, every one of you who are.
Hey, Dave. I'm on your show.
Matt?
I'm here. How did I get here? I fell through the internet. I have a birthday present for you. Here's your birthday present, Dave.
Hey, David. This is Kevin Conroy. I'm calling you from the library of Wayne Manor. Now, Matthew tells me it's your birthday. So this is a special Batman birthday shout out for David.
I am vengeance. I am the knight. I am Batman. Happy birthday, David. Remember, Batman's got your back.
That's awesome.
Yay. Happy birthday, Dave. I hope you liked it.
Thank you very much, man.
I thought it was a cool way to wish you happy birthday. By the way, I ordered that thing 10 months ago. 10 freaking months ago. Because I saw it on Cameo, and I immediately was like, that's a Dave happy birthday present for sure. And then I straight up forgot that your birthday was in September. It was like, this was like October or November of 2019, and I ordered it. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll wait a while.
Oh, God.
So I've been sitting on that thing for 10 months. Well, I hope you liked it, and happy birthday. I'll let you guys get to your cast.
Oh, man.
Much love. Love you guys. Peace.
Love you too, man. Thanks again.
I think history will tell it was more fun not to have recorded that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Yeah, and if you want to know what Jason is talking about, when Matt surprised me by popping in just now, my reactions were real, but heavily edited. Matt's were re-recorded because he totally forgot to hit record. So to hear more from Matt and what he had to say for himself, we have a bit of fun for you after the credits. And to see the full video version of Kevin Conroy's birthday surprise to me, it will be posted on DCOnScreen.com. All right, well, Patreon. Let's get back into the show.
Yeah.
God, we have a lot.
Because dear God.
Patreon. Oh, man. All of you supporters out there, thank you very much. $5 a month, if you haven't joined. $5 a month gets you every episode ad-free, plus you're going to get random, infrequent extra episodes.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
It sounded very much like a poor diagnosis for a second.
No, just this. Why lie? Why lie?
No, I just thought it was going to be random, infrequent diarrhea or something before that.
Oh, no. Well, that some might say that.
It's
just diarrhea of the mouth. And I don't. Yeah. Anyway, and $1 a month gets you every episode ad free. So there you go. More things might be coming. They have been hitting me pretty hard with the exclusive Patreon exclusive shop where you can get exclusive merch or something. And I haven't looked into it. I want to look into it. But yeah, so let's get into the show. WBT, as in tea that has been spilled.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about an acronym that we need to go ahead and memorize and put on the chart. Like, okay.
No.
Which one's this? Warner Brothers Television. Got you. Okay.
No. Mm-hmm. No. No, no, right.
Where do they go on the chart, Dave?
Mm-hmm. No, remember I call it WBT because it's like all the naughty little bad things happening behind the scenes.
I recall now, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You did. You told me you did. Don't look. Anyway.
It seemed more memorable at the time.
Yeah. So we might be stepping into now an area where, although I stand with Ray Fisher, I might not necessarily agree with him.
I'm enthralled. What do you got?
Well, first of all, on September 15th, he said that Ben Affleck's Flash casting reveal was a publicity stunt. He says, the fake frosty news with Jason wasn't the only PR tactic used to distract from the seriousness of the Justice League situation. Ben returning as Batman was clearly meant to be revealed at DC FanDome. I'll give you one guess as to why WB Pictures likely jumped the gun. Now, maybe. But maybe he's right about that. You know,
it's even something we mentioned at the time was, yeah, this feels like, why didn't you wait for FanDome?
Right. Except FanDome was already recorded.
Yeah.
FanDome, as far as I understand, was filmed sometime in late July.
That sounds about right.
So, you know, he put out these pictures that had, it was a picture of his tweet where he says, after 5 weeks of interviews with various cast and crew, WarnerMedia has officially launched an independent third-party investigation to get to the heart of the toxic and abusive work environment created during Justice League reshoots. This is a massive step forward. And it showed it was 1:38 p.m. And then the article that came out, Ben Affleck will return as Batman in the Flash, 3:02 p.m. on the same day. There's a little bit of that that seems like maybe, I don't think that, like, I kind of wonder if they were going to release it like right before FanDome to like really amp it up for FanDome. I don't think the Ben Affleck news was ever, I don't believe it was, he wasn't Batman. They didn't know when they filmed FanDome. Like, I don't think that they were going to announce it at FanDome. I think that was going to be, they may have, like, you know, jacked it up and said, like, oh, let's release it a little earlier because Ray said this shit. But I don't believe that it was, like, necessarily going to be released during FanDome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're both, to me, they're both still possible. I wouldn't know which one to bet on if I had to, but definitely possible because Affleck did appear in a segment that would have cost, you know, in a pre-recorded segment where you didn't have to deal with fans and questions and all that. In a pre-recorded segment, you could have done that in a few seconds.
Yeah.
Add that little tidbit, even add the reaction from, who else was on that panel?
Zach?
That was Zach's panel. Sorry. Even add the reaction from Zach. I was thinking it was multiverse for a second. But anyway, you could have done it in a few seconds, even including the reaction of Zach going, yeah, isn't that great? Fantastic, whatever. And then moving on. And you could have filmed that in July if you knew you had it in the bag. And depending on who you believe and, you know, how long you think the ink's been dry, they've been talking about it since then.
But, you know, on the Real in Motion cast, Zack Snyder, he said that he had not talked to Affleck about it.
Yeah, that's it.
So that ink was wet as shit.
that is the fly in the ointment there for sure.
Mm-hmm. So September 16th, the rap Umberto Gonzalez, he publishes this piece where he talks about how Justice League star Ray Fisher went on his Twitter attack against director Whedon in June after he was offered a small cameo role in the upcoming DC Comics movie The Flash. The rap has learned. The rap learned it,
And honestly, if you see the phrase the rap has learned anywhere, question everything.
Right.
Everything before and after that point.
So according to two insiders with knowledge of the situation, Warner Brothers has not heard back from Fisher's team since offering a small role back in June. And plans for a standalone Cyborg movie has stalled. Now, I think it's funny because in the actual article, he does talk about, like, by the way, that thing that I said about the standalone Cyborg movie, that's been the case since 2016. No kidding, buddy.
Yeah.
No kidding. But
yeah.
So he says this.
You sure didn't try to make it sound that way, did you? No?
Okay. Yeah. He says a rep for Fisher sidestepped multiple questions about the Flash offer in terms of timing, size, and the state of negotiations. All right, they sidestepped it. This is what sidestepping sounds like. Quote, Mr. Fisher is and has been under contract with WB Pictures since 2014. Per the terms of that pre-negotiated contract, the option to include Mr. Fisher as the character of Victor Stone, aka Cyborg, has always rested in the hands of WB Pictures. That's not a sidestep. That's pretty straightforward, honestly.
There are plenty of nuances to go after if you want to on either side, sure. But that sure as hell sounds like he's under contract to play the role the same way. Like, you remember how it was big news at some point that that people were talking about, well, you know, when Endgame was coming up, like, well, how many films is somebody under contract for?
Yeah, it's appearances, not films necessarily.
Well, yeah, appearances. But
or like solo films.
Well, so in some cases, it is appearances. Like Ruffalo's contract was a little bit film, a little bit appearance kind of situation. So if you show up in somebody else's thing, does that count? Or there's a lot of nuance there. But it sure sounds like on that, it sure sounds like he's supposed to show up when they tell him, this is your next movie.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a negotiation situation at this point.
No. It's a little bit like me saying that, like, I don't know. I mean, how much can you sidestep something if you just never actually listen to something because it's absurd?
Mm-hmm.
He never got back to my emails. He doesn't fucking know who you are. Fuck off.
Warner Brothers, by the way, according to Umberto, declined to comment for that story.
Mm-hmm.
September 17th, Ray Fisher says, due to the purposeful lack of transparency and in some cases blatant lies on the part of WB Pictures and the third-party firm hired by them to investigate Justice League, an official request for a change of investigator has been made of Warner Media. So as to protect the witnesses involved and the information they possess, I strongly encourage any and all that have been contacted by the current investigator to respectfully decline to interview until a truly independent third party is engaged by Warner Media. Now, then Warner Media comes out with these memos, all right? And Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar, or Kilar, however you say his name, this was his memo. Hello, team. I am both concerned and disappointed by public reports regarding patterns of unacceptable behavior that have been raised in recent weeks. This email is to share what we will be doing about it. I've always been a believer that a reputation is largely what people say about you when you are not in the room. In my first 4 months here at Warner Media, I have thought a lot about our reputation. Specifically, what is our reputation today? And what aspirations should we have for our reputation going forward? I've come to the conclusion that one of the most important things I'd like people to say about us when we are not in the room is that we treat people with dignity. What does it mean to treat a person with dignity? At a minimum, I believe it entails an acceptance of another person's identity. It also entails a responsibility to validate, to recognize, and to include. Finally, I believe it entails a commitment to fairness and a commitment to maintaining a safe environment for all. I say the above as prelude, to the statement that going forward, we will be reinforcing our values and demanding more of ourselves and more of the people with whom we choose to partner. We will not be tolerating patterns of behavior that are at odds with our need to treat each other with dignity. What this means pragmatically, we have engaged a third party to do an objective, proactive review across our production business, internal teams in addition to partner productions. I want to understand if there is any pattern of behavior that is at odds with our need to treat each other with dignity. I also am encouraging all of you and our partners to report situations where you see a pattern of behavior at odds with this standard. This can be done with a simple communication to your supervisor or HR rep. It can also be done by sending an email to Mike Sophia, who heads up compliance for the company. Anonymously, it can be done by calling our helpline at 800-375-0288. We will continue to take seriously every allegation of abuse of power, unethical conduct, discrimination, or other concerns, and investigate any claim brought forward. Over the next few weeks, each of you will be receiving an updated version of our standards of business conduct. You will be expected to fully digest this important document and sign up to it as a condition of being on this team. In the coming weeks, we will also be communicating to all of you of our existing and prospective partners, e.g. the active and potential motion picture and television productions. This communication will make clear the requirement that people be treated with dignity and our intention to sever ties where patterns of behavior are at odds with that requirement. I anticipate that there will be situations where we choose to terminate business relationships. I also anticipate that there will be situations where a person may choose not to work with us because of these rigid expectations. That's fine. While there may be companies that will do business with those people, we do not need to be one of them.
I also want to say, that's fine, but it just says that's fine.
Yeah.
That's the tone. That's fine.
That is the tone. That's fine. We do not need to be one of them. I also want to say that managing our way strongly through the above will entail remembering that we are all human. I am certain that we will make mistakes as we endeavor to get this right, but I know we can and will be better so long as we are clear in our expectations and hold each other accountable to those expectations each and every day. With thanks, Jason. Now, that's CEO of WarnerMedia. WarnerMedia, they run out all that shit.
I'm going to try to sum that up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People. We just got here. I have no current culpability for anything that has happened before. If you have anything to say, now's the time to say it. We will investigate it thoroughly because I ain't going to deal with that shit later.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any problem with this, get the fuck out. If you don't have a problem with this, we have a giant purse of money that we're willing to open up to you. But if that doesn't work for you, then I don't care. By the way, we are also people and we'll probably fuck even this attempt up somehow. So give us a little bit of leeway. And man, I hope we all get through this. Accountability is greater than entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Sound about right?
That sounds about right. And then Warner Brothers, CEO and chairperson, and Sarnoff gave a very similar memo that's equally long that I don't want to read.
I did read that one and it reads very similar.
Mm-hmm. It does.
There's no major dissension in the memo.
No, and Ray Fisher did tweet this article out that talks about it and said progress. So hey, yay!
Well, Ray's problem has been for a minute now. Even when they said we're going to have this investigated, it was like, okay, well that's great, you're investigating, but none of the people who took my side are getting their phone calls returned anymore.
Yeah.
You came, you deposed them for a couple hours or whatever the hell it is, probably a couple hours on average. You came, you took their deposition, you put it in a can, and you don't give a shit about them anymore, but everybody else that was in charge at the time, you're talking to them still, so fuck it.
Yeah.
So he's been calling for like a genuine third party thing for a minute, and my God, if the copy doesn't sound like he may be getting that.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, what's funny is the article that reported on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they said Justice League anywhere in there. They were talking about the Ellen show.
Ellen did not get a good...
No.
Her PR has not been great for a while, uh-huh. And this did not help.
But I'll say this, like, these memos don't mention... They say everything. Everybody's going to be looked at. So there's that.
Again, seriously, my point about the culpability thing is, like, if you just got in, you have... This is your shot. Yeah, you bought the company. Doesn't mean you're responsible for every one of their past mistakes. Even if you are, and kind of you still are, to be honest, legally, you do what you can to make that right, cut the checks where they need to be, redo what you need to be done, like get it right as you can, and then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to be dragged down by that shit for years to come. And if you're that guy or that girl, it may cost you your job.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad tack to take what they're doing.
No. I hope it's for real.
Bring out your dead.
All right, I hope it's for real.
Yeah.
All right. So September 23rd, THR, Boris Kitt, reports that Zack Snyder
like
is planning.
Sounds like you said that with quotations.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
No. Not really. No. I don't have a problem with Boris Kitt. I think Boris Kitt reports things as he receives them and... Whether or not they're coming from WB or somebody else, Boris Kitt is reporting what he's got. So,
fair enough.
I don't think I've ever had a truly egregious situation with Boris Kitt. Like,
nah.
He just always seems like, Boris said that. Okay, cool.
I don't think I have either. I just, for a second, I was just wondering about your tone.
No. Like, I don't.
Thought you might be tipping your hand a little bit in the Umberto direction.
No, I don't curse his name under my breath every time I see his name like I do with Umberto. Like, you lying bastard. You sack of shit.
Sack of shit, yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's the phrase I knew would be on your mind.
Yeah. So Boris Kitt was talking about how Zack Snyder is planning new Justice League shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the weird thing about the article, though, is that, like, there were rumors that there was going to be at least a couple of different Hollywood Reporter articles coming out, and then it looks like maybe they got conglomerated into one, because the headline is Zack Snyder planning new Justice League shoot amid Ray Fisher claims. And I mean, well, yeah,
that is yes, how that would go down. Yeah,
the claims are still ongoing. Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
They're
yes,
like they're not right. going to put the Snyder cut, whatever version it's coming out in, at whatever time in 2021. Mm-hmm. It's not going on hold until litigation stops.
Right.
Go fuck off with that. It's not, that's not how that works.
He talks about the reshoots, or they're not really reshoots, this additional photography. But
that is, despite a lot of claims, I think that is the correct term, additional photography.
Well, they're, you know, yes, but you, the, not all additional photography is reshoots, because if you've never shot it before, you know, that's one of the things that we've been seeing a lot of, is people saying like, oh, well, now Zach has reshoots and he said he had it all done. No, he had his 214 done. But when they made it a series and they said you can do the thing that you wanted to do in the first place, guess what? You get to shoot things that you never got to shoot before because you didn't think you were going to get to it.
Yeah. I mean, he had, apparently he had 5 hours, what, the assembly cut, right? He had like five hours or so that he said that he had, if you just laid it all on end.
Yeah.
And then but 2 hours 14 that he thinks would have been the movie he would put out based on that, I guess.
Yeah.
But
now that it's going to be a series, there's more stuff that he has to factor in.
Yeah.
And also, it's a completely different story. Like, you'll remember during the Snyder Con when he was talking about the original plan, that was wildly different from that 214.
Yeah.
That was, and now he says no compromise, which means Darkseid's going to show up in the Batcave at some point.
Like, I mean, that would be delightful. Yeah.
Like,
I
mean, yeah, we're getting the whole shebang. And will, as long as they give us more seasons. But
I mean, honestly, even if you took the word reshoot at its face value, mm-hmm. dude, he did principal photography. He got into post and then he was off the project. He never got to go to most films at this point, in pretty much anything involving this much CGI, you do reshoots.
Yeah, but you know, like a lot of people are taking issue with that because Jay Oliva had said that Zach doesn't really do reshoots because Zach maps it out meticulously in storyboard. So whatever he shoots is what he uses, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of people kind of trying to go back without completely understanding what's happening here, and trying to make a case that we were all wrong all along about Zack Snyder and how much was done. And that's part of this too. But
most people get to go do a couple extra shots. Even, God forbid, even Snyder might go back and take another shot at something himself.
Maybe. It says in October, Zack Snyder will roll cameras for his extended cut of Justice League. The shoot, which will include the Snyder cut into a 4-episode limited series, is expected to bring back Ben Affleck as Batman, Henry Cavill as Superman, and Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman for new scenes. Also set to appear on the call sheet for what is expected to be a week or so long shoot is Ray Fisher as Cyborg. The latter is noteworthy because Fisher is in a public dispute with sister Warner Media and Warner Brothers Pictures. He does say Fisher also claimed that executives John Berg and Jeff Johns, who have both since left the studio, enabled Whedon's behavior. Would you say that Jeff Johns has left the studio, though? Maybe Warner Brothers Pictures, but not Warner Brothers, because he's still working on Stargirl and purportedly Doom Patrol. And
if we measured it by this, I'll put it this way. At this stage, that guy has the same office chair.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Let's measure it by that. I don't think he's had to move offices and get another chair.
Now, he does say Warner Brothers declined comment. Warner Media remains in business with Joss Whedon, whose new show, HBO sci-fi drama The Nevers, is back in production in London. So, yeah, Warner Brothers has got a lot at stake here. They don't want to have to get rid of Whedon after they've already spent a bunch of money to produce a thing. They don't want to get rid of Johns because they've already spent a bunch of money to produce a thing.
Yeah,
or it's several.
There's a tipping point problem. Like, it takes a lot to bury somebody in this career, and it's not necessarily worth it until it hits a certain point, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish I could take a moral stance on these issues, and, you know, personally, I probably would, but, it, you know, when you get down to actually how to effectively execute the idea of that, it's difficult.
Yeah.
You can't just declare him, like, you can't just cancel people in the real world and actual affairs of this. You can't just do that.
Yeah.
There's not a stamp they just put on his, like, title card that it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. The article goes on to say, insiders recalled to THR that the Justice League reshoots conducted by Whedon were a messy and hastily assembled affair. Snyder left the project in May of 2017 ahead of a November release date. Whedon had to cram an extensive rewrite and reshoot and take over post-production. One person present at the reshoots described a set filled with tension and says the director was difficult with actors, but this person also says they did not witness physical or other abuse. Johns and Berg were under pressure, another insider notes, as they were trying to deliver a tentpole and knew their jobs were on the line. Whedon did jettison many of Fisher's scenes, according to sources, and his directing style is described as the opposite of Snyder's collaborative approach. It also was unclear if Fisher filed a complaint at the time. And then it brings up, Fisher is in talks with Warner Brothers to make a cameo in The Flash, a Justice League spinoff movie due to shoot next year. He has options negotiated for future appearances, including cameos beyond the initial film. But in earlier drafts of the Fisher script, Cyborg was a much more active player than the one in the current script. Sources say the studio exercised his option for Flash, even upping its negotiated price for what's described as a three-scene appearance. Fisher's side countered with a figure doubling that. Warner's turned that down and negotiations have remained stalled for weeks. So suddenly this stops being about reshoots or additional photography and becomes a hit piece.
Yeah.
A Ray Fisher hit piece.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets there.
Uh-huh.
It does.
And then we have this report that comes out about how Justice League's reshoots are going to be, or additional photography, is going to be $70 million. And that's according to The Wrap. But yeah, I mean, I could see it happening, but I mean, we did have the dude who got fired recently. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Bob Greenblatt, something like that. Say that I wish it was $30 million.
Yeah. And exactly that quote, yeah.
Yeah. So,
we kind of expected it may come in above the $30 million mark for sure, and 70 doesn't sound crazy one way or the other to me, frankly, but...
I mean, especially if you're going... Man, if they're... I don't see a way they are going to plan to do this and not finish up Zach's vision, because they know they're just going to get as much shit as they got before if they don't. They're putting money into it to make sure that it looks good, that it sounds good, everything he needs so they can get him the hell out of their lives. I think that's what they're doing. And I think Zack Snyder knows that and doesn't care, because it means he's getting what he wants.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Like, the big change has been that streaming platform's emergence. So now, where he existed...
Oh, they definitely wouldn't do it if they didn't think there was money in it.
Well, they wouldn't do it now if HBO Max didn't exist. There'd just be no way. My big pitfall from the beginning was I didn't think there was any way to make the money, but with HBO Max, it was finally possible. So with that, it's possible. But it's also the thing that I think Snyder kind of appreciated. Just watching, like, you know, you've seen those interviews where he talks about, like, hey, what are you going to do if you get to come back and stuff like that. You can kind of see his reaction a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my take on his reaction is he's not fighting it. He's not saying no. He's just saying, like, dude, we really got to see where that goes. But, you know, my take on how that works in general is also, yeah, he's now on a platform where they can actually just see how that goes.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily all you're going to see, but it has to go a certain way. But in his favor now is there's actually going to be metrics that are more favorable than some of the critically induced metrics before that Sugihara and company were so afraid of. You can actually just release a thing, get the popular opinion on the matter, and look at your fucking streaming data that no one else has access to, and see how it goes and see how you feel about it. I mean, yeah, you may end up with a Netflix kind of, you know, canceled after two seasons, even though so many people loved it kind of effect later. But
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for this is the most favorable waters Snyder and this property have been able to swim in quite some time.
Yeah. I just read a really interesting article about why Netflix canceled so many shows after two seasons.
Oh, I read the same, and it was very fascinating. That's why I referenced it. It was really good.
we'll stick that in the show notes, but we're not going to talk about it.
Fair enough.
Except to say, it's very interesting. Go check that out.
Oh, I will give you one tip. If you love it, watch it fast.
Yes.
Complete it fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got 28 days. So
you have 28 days.
I'm not lying.
I know. I read the article.
You've got 28 days to get that shit complete. Tell your family.
Yeah.
Make them do it too.
So Ray Fisher on September 23rd says, or responds, I guess, to this, this all of this bullshit with, it would appear that W Pictures has gone from giving libelous official statements to one media outlet to becoming a source of purposeful misinformation for another. The people are on to you. The investigation is coming. Casting aspersions on me will not change that. September 24th. Like a thief in the night. Diane Nelson just slips into a conversation and blows the internet up.
And vanishes entirely?
Yep, and vanishes entirely. Atticus X Prime on Twitter says, all the comic writers who are usually very opinionated when Zach is trending, but are silent when it comes to Jeff Johns being an abuser, where y'all at? And Dreaded Fury responds to that and says, remember, it didn't happen to them, so it doesn't matter. And Diane Nelson responds to that and says, oh, it happened to plenty of them. And she lets it get big and disappears.
I was
deletes her account.
I was only half joking with Ryan Hilsman about this. Like we've had a running gag about Diane being a nemesis.
Yes.
We cut that out when family troubles were the problem and she stepped away.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I've gone to the other side with her now after that.
Me too.
And the funny part is like, it seems so obvious that it seems so obvious that it's crazy. It's crazy to even think because it seems so obvious that it seems like she posted that and somebody called her and said, yeah, you're going to want to take that down.
Oh, no. No, she does this kind of shit, though.
Is it? Is it just her style?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
I remember when she did this a similar thing when someone called her, said something about her buddy, Jeff Johns, and she said, he's no buddy of mine. And then poof, she was gone.
Okay. All right. I got you. So she's just like she's a strike hitter. You know, she'd come in quick, get in close, hit you in the back of the neck and vanish.
Well, no, I think like a normal person, she doesn't want to keep getting notifications telling her that she's, you know, a piece of shit whore and everything. All these awful people on Twitter will attack you with when you, you know, challenge their fragile worldview.
Okay. All right. I like this more. I'm liking this more now. So she just comes in, raises her hand and says, yeah, so I have a piece of information. And then as soon as she's going to have to actually like deal with
the backlash,
the ridiculousness, but just bails and waits for it to, you know. All right. So that'll be, okay. I can respect that. I wouldn't do it either.
Yep. So
honestly, she hadn't hit my radar until that last bit. So I wondered if this was a one-off, but no, if this is a pattern, I kind of respect her more for it.
Mm-hmm. And the whole reason we had a problem with her in the first place is back when she had Jim Lee's job.
Yeah.
She was vocal about how she didn't want to confuse the markets, confuse the brands by having Batman in two places at once or The Flash in two places at once. So, you know, don't want to have Flash in a movie and on TV or she Batman on TV. She thought the general audience
would be confused by
And to be fair, they are.
Some of them yeah.
Like, I've seen several tweets just the last few days of people just arguing vehemently that, you know, that Zack Snyder's Justice League won't be able to have a sequel because of Flashpoint happening.
Yeah, like, that's a real thing.
What are you talking about? We were just talking about this, you and me. We saw people arguing that Zack Snyder is the reason Supergirl got canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of inanity is, there's no like stopgap. There's no there's nothing to stop you from posting something that stupid if it occurs to you.
I'm like, where the hell did we even?
Was it Campia that did the video recently you were talking about, like trying to explain why the Flash Keaton cameo is a big deal?
I don't know what you mean.
I saw you like something before, and I didn't get to
that,
watch it.
Nope, that was Dave the Film Junkie.
Oh, Peanut.
Yeah,
gotcha.
That and that. No, don't Campia. Please Sorry. Don't confuse John Campia with Dave the Film Junkie. Dave the Film Junkie is amazing.
That was a bit of slander that I was not attempting to do. Sorry, I saw the title of the thing though and thought, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about because I literally did that just as an experiment the other day.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came to help me do a couple things on the renovating that bathroom. I always feel the need to explain that my mom is extremely handy and knows what the fuck she's doing with these kinds of things. So, but just almost as a thought experiment, I tried to explain to her why, because, you know, my mom's 56, I think, right now. And I know she knows the Michael Keaton Batman, like you and I are of the same era. Your mom's of the same kind of era. Like we know damn well they saw that movie.
Oh, so yeah. Trying my to mom explain, took me to it.
Yeah, I know. It was a crucible moment for you.
Oh, it was.
But trying to explain to someone who doesn't understand the nuances, it took me about 40 minutes. I kind of timed it, just a little bit of a side experiment. Just kind of timed how long it would take me to explain why this was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And predictably, there was no payoff. There was no like, oh, well, that's cool. No, she didn't give a fuck. But it took me that long to even lay out why this was something that I was excited about.
Yeah.
And I was trying to kind of keep it short in between like, hey, I need that 21 7/8 on the outside. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
I did the same thing with my mom, but I went and I was like, dude, Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman. And my mom was like, hell yeah. She likes Michael Keaton like a lot. Like that was like, she hates Spider-Man. She doesn't like Spider-Man, but I showed her that when he was the Vulture and she was just like, ah, damn it. I guess I'll have to watch a Spider-Man movie. Like that was like,
yeah, so I'm he like, looks pretty good in that one. That's good.
And my mom, to be clear, hates the multiverse. She hates the concept of the multiverse. She hates it angers her. It angers her that we think that there might be a multiverse in real life.
One time.
It makes her angry that we think that there might be a multiverse in real life. It makes her angry that, you know, there are different versions of Batman. It makes her angry that, like, things don't always happen the same in every universe or every version of a story. So when I was like, dude, Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are going to be in the same movie as Batman, as two separate Batman from the multiverse, she rolled her eyes and was like, well, whatever gets Keaton in there, I don't care.
I think like the most I got out of my mom when I tried to explain it was just like, you remember Batman from back in the day? She went, Keaton. Yeah. Like she actually is pretty, she does remember actors and actresses pretty well. If I bring something up, she can usually name the person. And the excitement of just remembering who Batman was played by, I think was as close as I got to any excitement whatsoever. Like me explaining that I was, you know, screaming to the point that probably three houses down, they heard me when Ezra showed up on the CW. Like it just lost on her. Yeah, there was no reward there for me.
Yeah.
But she did understand it. It just took forever to walk through the process.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, it is a long process if you're starting from scratch.
Yeah. So now I'll put that Film Junkie video in the show notes.
By not John Campia.
Yeah, not John Campia.
Film Apologies. Junkie. Apologies, Dave. I really do mean that. I'm sorry. Don't know how my mind got there, but I mean nothing by it.
Well, you know, John Campia is the next thing we're talking about.
Well, we'll pray that's how my mind got there, because it's all I've got.
You didn't know it was coming, though. So take that.
I'm in the pre-Halloween era where I'm more open to bullshit, so some part of me is like, ESP.
You sensed the name coming up.
I was able to remote view your notes.
Yeah. So September 25th here,
mm-hmm.
John Campia, everyone's talking, oh, no, he accidentally showed this. He didn't mean to show this email on his stream. Oh, he was talking about this email that he got and he didn't mean to show it, bullshit. The email, he's already got shit blurred out, like the appropriate segments blurred out. He knew exactly what he was doing. And also, I believe this is horseshit.
Side
the
note.
Email, yeah, the email says, what most people don't understand, or first of all, it's like the name is blurred out, so we don't know who he got it from. This title is Re-WB Justice League Nightmare. So the first two lines of the email are blurred. Then it says, what most people don't understand is that the entire Justice League experience was an absolute nightmare. Or actually it says, was an absolutely nightmare. Joss faced an unreal expectations and deadlines from the execs almost immediately in a toxic set environment like you wouldn't imagine. You have to understand that Zack Snyder had a very good relationship with almost, in quotes, everyone on set. So his departure was jarring for several reasons. It was their posse and kind of a tight one. It was also a posse that Joss was never really taken into. According to the relentless pressure that everyone from Joss to Berg and redacted came something Joss just wasn't expecting. See, the Avengers experience was tough on Joss. But everyone there, from the execs to the crew to all the cast, were all on the same team. Everyone checked their egos at the door and were all dedicated to making the best movie possible for Kevin, Marvel, and the fans. That was the top priority.
It's hard for me to tell how you feel about this at this point.
Yeah, I know. That was the top priority for everyone. Certainly not that everything was roses or that there weren't issues and problems like any production, but everyone was focused on the movie and doing what was best for it.
I can feel the quotation marks hitting me in the face right now.
Yeah. Justice League was an entirely different experience. Like, what kind of narrative do you think they're trying to push here?
Can't imagine what they're going for there.
With the exception of a couple of individuals, almost no one on that set cared about the movie. Maybe a better way to put it was that they only cared about the movie in as far as it was going, as what it was going to do for them and their careers. Who was getting the better framing? Who was getting the choice lines? Who was getting their scenes cut? It was always about them. It just wasn't an environment Joss is accustomed to working in. And frankly, it doesn't help that Joss isn't exactly a peacemaker either. It got contentious. Oh. It got contentious. Redacted in theaters by deadline. On top of that, a few specific people would never pass up the chance to remind Joss that it wasn't his movie. This became a regular bargaining chip whenever certain parties weren't happy with what was happening, which they misspelled happening somehow, with their characters or their scenes. And then there's a whole paragraph that's redacted.
Yeah.
Of
all of it, the one part that I'm actually pretty happy to believe is people constantly reminding Joss that it's in your movie, man.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Lightcast Podcast said a thing, and look, man, I don't trust that. That's bullshit. Except Ray Fisher tweeted this. He retweeted it. Said this was sent to me today, and I can tell you plainly this is set up to paint Joss as the victim and take heat off of Geoff Johns as well.
Oh, but there's that one line in there about how he's not always the best peacemaker.
Oh yeah, that must mean it's a true.
It alleviates all guilt.
Yep.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
By the way, wait for news on that term later.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works out for you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this was just another version of a hit piece, and.
Yeah, it sounded kind of shitty. Like, the premise of it just sounded super stupid. Just, what are we fucking doing here? Kind of stupid.
Yeah, they wrote, plainly set up to paint Joss as the victim and take heat off of Geoff Johns as well. John Campia returns to Twitter for this. This is all scatter and smoke. This is a false email. Sorry, this will not work. Try better.
I like try better.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move off of Ray Fisher and all of this.
Until Zack next
Snyder,
time.
Yeah. Zack Snyder released a thing a few days ago that said the Snyder Cut community helped raise $250,000 for suicide prevention.
Sweet.
And that's awesome. And proud to say that we're both contributors to that as well. So that's a good feeling. I'm happy for that. And if we don't get Justice League, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a legitimate amount of money for a good cause. And hell, keep it coming. if nothing else, this would be a great opportunity to, like, a lot of fundraising for stuff like that is just keeping it top of mind when you have, you know, $5, $10, $20 to throw at something. And hell, if all this thing did was sit around long enough that people threw a few bucks at it, hell yeah, would still be a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it coming.
All right. So there was a GQ article where they were talking to Henry Cavill. And
just okay.
Okay. Here's the part of the pretty long interview that I decided was worth talking about. Mm-hmm. From the GQ article, Cavill will be again seen as Superman in the famed Snyder Cut of Justice League, which is being released as a 4-episode miniseries on HBO Max next year, with The Hollywood Reporter even reporting that most of the main cast, including Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, Ben Affleck's Batman, and Cavill's Superman, will be filming reshoots from next month. But Cavill pours cold water on this. Cavill says, "They are doing their own thing out there, putting the movie together from the footage they shot." He says, when I ask if Snyder has been in touch, "I've not been in comms with them about it." Though he didn't take part in any reshoots, other reports that surfaced just before we spoke suggested Cavill had recently signed a new 3-film deal with Warner Brothers to reprise his Superman role after Cavill himself pitched a new storyline. Is there any truth to the rumors? Well, I think it's important that we should be about Enola Holmes. That this should be about Enola Holmes, he says, which you will notice isn't exactly a no, and is despite the fact Cavill has been more than willing to discuss subjects such as painting Warhammer figures, gaming PCs, The Witcher, baking, and the Snyder Cut of Justice League. That sounds very much, I say, like a way of saying no comment without actually denying it.
Very Cavill much grins, so, but
Cavill grins fairness, slightly. I said what I said.
You can talk about stuff that's a little off topic and eccentric without like dwarfing one property with another. That's.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. No. Go and look at the article though. Like he does, he gets into like talking about like how he paints Warhammer figures and how.
Oh, I watched the thing about the PC gaming secret. In particular.
Yeah, he talks about that. He talks about a ton of this stuff in the article. And then as soon as they ask him about the 3-picture deal, he's just like, we should talk about Enola Holmes. Like, yeah. Oh, buddy. So I don't know. Maybe they don't need him for the reshoots or the whatever you want to call them.
Look, it's entirely plausible to me that they just don't actually need him on set for that.
Yeah, they might not.
I mean, not for any other reason than just they filmed a whole other movie while he was there for what was, you know, the Joss version of additional photography.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, Snyder's already said he's not using any of Joss's footage, so we're not.
Oh, I know, that's
that.
My point. They had 5 hours of footage before with him included.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that there's 2 hours worth of stuff where Superman's on screen and he'll be perfectly represented, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And his facial hair will be not goddamn heresy.
Over to the Suicide Squad. Joel Kinnaman, talking about the Suicide Squad, says, "That movie is going to be insane. The script is so funny. Every page of that script was funny, and every page made me laugh. James just has this command of that genre, but also over every aspect of comedy and even the marketing. He just understands the world so well. And since he wrote it, he really reinvents not just the concepts, but also the characters. For me, it was like I did my first comedy, but it's like heavily R-rated. It was a real learning experience for me, too, because I'd never done a comedy in that way before. So I asked James to work with me and teach me this shit. And yeah, we had so much fun doing it. That movie is going to be a fucking monster. Honestly, even though I'm in it, I can't wait to see it as a fan."
Yeah, I like that.
Yep, I'm down. I'm definitely not a person who gets upset when a comic book movie is comedic.
No. And the amount of excitement I've seen from the cast on that so far is, man, I'm really rooting for it.
Yeah. By the way, we missed this last week because we didn't do a show.
Mm-hmm.
HBO Max, they've announced a Suicide Squad spinoff, Peacemaker, starring John Cena. It's an 8-episode straight to series order for his first season. James Gunn will be writing all of the episodes and directing a number of them. And it has been reported that the show is going to explore the origins of the character. James Gunn and Peter Safran are going to be executive producers on the series.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's going to be a co-executive producer.
I'll tell you if you tell me something that's not super exciting, but you haven't hit that point yet.
So, yeah, man,
let's put it this way. 3 years ago, if you'd ask me, hey, would you like a series on Peacemaker? I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, the answer is, yeah, let's see where that goes. That would be my answer for sure is, yeah, let's see where this goes. Hey, we're going to have James Gunn involved. Okay, definitely, let's see where this goes. Oh, by the way, and then now we're at the point where it's like, hey, you know, you've actually seen a little bit of BTS and just some clips of what's actually going to be on the screen, and how do you feel? Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down, man.
Yep. The character is Christopher Smith, a pacifist diplomat and son of a Nazi death camp commandant who founded the Pax Institute, who fights dictators and warlords.
Mm-hmm.
He believes in peace at any cost, no matter how many people he has to kill to get it.
The old kill them all like God sort them out thing.
Yeah. So James Gunn also has teased that there will be more Suicide Squad members in Peacemaker.
Love that.
A fan asked, and he says it will be done. He's also said,
I don't think he could help himself.
No. We've had a lot of people, though, also say that, like, well, I guess Peacemaker lives. And James Gunn, like, first of all reports have said this is a prequel. But James Gunn also said, we're holding off announcing the timeline of the Peacemaker TV show until after the Suicide Squad movie. So it could be like a Better Call Saul situation where they're like kind of flip-flopping back and forth between the origins and post-Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Yeah, easily.
Y'all just need to hold off and get off everybody's dicks. Let them do a thing. God.
Give them a minute, as we often say. Also, it's not even out. We don't have to go to another canon for this. Like, we've seen Arrow. We know it's possible to tell those two stories at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be okay. Just let it ride.
Yeah.
And by the way, a point we've hit so many times before, and I just want to say it again, just because you're getting this thing does not mean you've been deprived of another.
Right.
It's not that exclusive.
Unless you're Robert Pattinson getting COVID-19, then you're deprived of the Batman.
Yeah. for like 12 days, and then we're back.
Yeah, they're back now. He's been cleared of COVID-19, and that's happening again, so.
Yeah. It's just, for every project that you thought of, and I mean you, anyone listening, that you thought of when you heard Peacemaker was getting his own series, you know, within reason, you can kind of assume that if the thing you were thinking of instead had enough legs on it right this second, and I do mean it is timely, it just didn't have enough legs on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It really does matter. It's got to have the momentum. It's got to have the push. It's got to have the people. It's got to have the names attached, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean the thing you want isn't a thing worth needing or having. Just means it's not happening right now. All right. Speech over.
Yay. Over to Black Adam, Aldous Hodge is playing Hawkman.
Sweet.
Now, it does come to us from the rap, but The Rock has already commented on it, so, and Aldous Hodge is commenting, shit's happening.
until The Rock said something, I wasn't sure, but no, I'll buy it.
Yeah, if you don't know who Aldous Hodge is, he was in Leverage. He was the show Leverage.
I mean, in full disclosure, that is where I know him from. And man, he had a lot of range there. I really, really like the guy.
Yeah, he's also in the Civil War show Underground. He was in Straight Outta Compton, Hidden Figures. He's in this year's The Invisible Man. I know him primarily from the Star Trek Short Treks episode Calypso, where he played Kraft, a futuristic version of Odysseus.
Hmm.
Yeah, dude's good.
Yeah.
Let's just say thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right.
I'm into it.
We're going to jump to an ad that we have no control over. When we get back, we're going to be talking about TV news, including the surprising cancellation or ending, I guess, of Supergirl over on the CW.
I'm going to go turn off a hallway light and hope my daughter falls asleep.
Excellent.
Meet you back.
Dave here to remind you that in preparation for Die Another Day, my wife, Bethany, and I have been watching every James Bond film, most of them, for the very first time. If you're into 007 or you've always wanted to get into it, check out Breaking Bond on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else, including BreakingBondcast.com. All right, we are back. I've put some roasted nuts in my mouth.
Lovely.
And a little bit of black cherry sparkling water.
And that cherry 7-Up I'm rocking at the moment.
Ooh, that sounds delightful, honestly.
I was worried it was going to be very, cough syrupy flavored. It's really not. Mm-hmm. There's a hint. There's a hint. Mm-hmm. You know how things go with cherry, but it's really not bad.
Yeah. No, I did cough syrup, though, too, because it was the closest I could get to getting a buzz when I was a kid.
Yeah. The old Lewis Black favorite drug bit.
I don't also remember it, but...
Oh, yeah. He used to say NyQuil is his favorite drug.
Mm.
So he'd open a bottle and wake up in like another state or some shit.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I had some days in college where I would drink, maybe we shouldn't get into it.
I've taken a few too many sleeping pills a time myself. And there's like a 20 to 45 minute hallucinogenic period almost. And uh-huh. then nappy nap.
Yeah. Let's just say there was a period in college where... It was post a bad breakup where every day was a bottle of Burgundy with a NyQuil chaser.
Mm, yeah.
And I would lay there and wait for my arms to go numb.
And they would on cue.
I would pass out and wake up a couple days later.
Oh, here's a fun one. One time, just out of curiosity, because I had an Adderall prescription at some point, one that was wrongly administered, frankly. And at some point, I was kind of curious, so I took a couple of Adderall, about 40 milligrams if you're paying attention, and a couple of sleeping pills, about 50 milligrams if you're paying attention, and I was kind of curious about which one would win, and I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the sleeping pills won that race.
I'm no stranger to Addies myself, man. And mine weren't rightly prescribed either. I got them from my doctor guy I know.
Mm.
Look, man, you shouldn't take Adderall.
I was a person people knew at some point. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, if you think... Here's a fun challenge for anyone still listening. If you think you had a high dosage prescribed to you at some point, DM me. I promise I'll win. My doctor lost his license.
Jeez, that's crazy.
I think I was a side experiment of his. It was a crazy year and a half, 2 years almost.
My quote unquote doctor was a shirtless guy in a car full of CDs.
I had the CDs, had my shirt on though.
Fair enough.
Couldn't have been me.
No, it wasn't you. Anyway,
I was occupied about an hour and 15 down the road.
Yeah. Stuff happened to get through midterms and finals.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. Stuff happened to me for 2 years.
I'm so sorry, Jesus. So it's official. Supergirl is ending. You know, we've been told this for like 3 years. Like, yeah, woke go broke. Supergirl's getting canceled because they're gonna do a movie.
There was a list of bullshit reasons. The go what go broke, go fuck yourself. There was the other, they're using her in the movies, which honestly, what does it feel like? About three, almost 4 years ago now? Years ago.
They keep bringing it up. Like people keep bringing it up. Like it's like,
I don't know it if keeps, it's relevant it keeps at this point.
Turning up, dude, it keeps turning up like a bad penny. Like I saw that headline three or four times while I was doing research for this show.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what happens to the new rumored movie production? The thing that's been around for like 4 years. No one gives a shit about it. Like, what are you talking about? Why are you bringing that up as if that's a factor? They tell you exactly, and it's not exactly a happy thing.
No, and you know what? Let's go back a couple months to where the big rumor was Ryan Reynolds appearing as Green Lantern again.
Oh, that's happening.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. I'm just saying it didn't derail the movie plans.
No.
It did nothing to them, because the movie plans at this point are a we'll see.
We'll see, yeah. But yeah, no, Supergirl is ending. They even in the...
Oh, the other big one was like, oh, the ratings have been going down the whole time. Yeah, but they're going down at, I think, the same pace as Legends is, and they have higher ones by like a half a million almost. So,
but no, I mean they actually did state it in the announcement that like between the delays and Supergirl's downward, the coronavirus delays plus the delays of Melissa Benoist's pregnancy, which they just had the kid last week, mm-hmm. and dwindling ratings. So it's all happening.
There's a whole bunch of things. I do believe it was about the ratings and the cost of the show for sure. I think that's the actual story. And some of the headlines about like, oh, the ratings are just down to shit now. Like, no, they have other shows that are lower that are still going.
Well,
for
yes,
different reasons.
But if you look at Legends, there's no way that show costs as much as Supergirl. Just no way.
I agree.
They've got a static set they could film most of their shit on.
Honestly, Legends spends like a lot of its money on a few characters CGI. And the rest of it is pretty much just going to one place and shooting your thing.
Yeah.
Supergirl is, you've got like Act 3 that is going to be half CGI.
Right. And it looks like, you know, they literally use the same like locations that Supernatural uses. That's why it was such a joke last year when they come upon Sam and Dean's old car and they're like, oh, this is where Supernatural shoots. Like, yeah, because you guys are like using the same, like you're just like an outdoor location that you didn't have to build we really think about how much of Legends, no matter what time frame they go back to, they're really just in the same set of woods most of the time.
Yeah.
Or they're on the ship. So, you know, and they barely, like, Nate barely ever uses his power. Supergirl's flying like a must.
Pretty rare. They cycle through whichever character has, like, I don't know, super CGI heavy powers like Vixen or, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever element bender they have on at the time. I feel shitty saying that because I enjoy the show, but
I do too. But I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is, though. Like it, I think it costs less to make. While we're talking, I'm going to try to look that up in the background. But I think that's going to end up being the case.
Yeah. But yeah, what's funny is like they announced this news on what is in the comics considered Supergirl's birthday, September 22nd.
So, oh, nice.
That's fun. But yeah, like they're getting 20 extra episodes. A final season, they're going to be able to wrap it up, which Melissa Benoist is happy about. Like, and they came to this decision, the studio, the network, and Benoist all sat down and came to that decision that it was better to end the show. I mean, I'm good with it, man. Like, Supergirl has never been one of my favorites anyway. The last couple seasons have been pretty solid. I love John Cryer. Here's hoping he goes over to Superman and Lois. Yeah. But that's another consideration. Superman Lois is happening. So, you know, that's also a Supergirl level production.
Yeah. Even the PR said, you know, we're doing this in consultation with Moist. And yeah, I get it, man. I mean, dude, Chiyo.
She's a new mother, too. So,
yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Is like, yeah, if she wants to go actually be there for that. To some extent, you have to make choices about, do you want to live, you know, a third to a quarter of your year in Vancouver or be with your family?
Yeah, naturally. She's had five seasons, like another, and she's going to do one more. So, I mean, how can you be mad at that?
It was a good run, and frankly, I enjoyed the shit out of it. But here's a fun thing. Just to look it up,
mm-hmm.
beginning of 2020... The numbers on Supergirl were about the same as Legends. They're mm-hmm. at about like the 600,000 mark.
Yeah.
And Legends actually picked up and Supergirl didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they'd crisscrossed a little bit.
Yeah. That's kind of rough, though.
Yeah, I get that. Just to look at the percentages on it, it's, yeah. I mean, there were some serious spikes in Legends that if I was looking at it would look more hopeful. Like they got 100,000 more people pretty mm-hmm. regularly. They upticked and Supergirl didn't. So hell, we've said for a while that Legends is like the one who keeps getting renewed when it seems like it shouldn't. But hey, numbers say something different this year.
Yep. So how much do you want to bet that Supergirl, huh? What?
$1. It's my standard bet.
All right. How much do you want to bet? $1. Mm-hmm. Do you want to bet $1 that this Supergirl ends with her going to the future to be with Mon-El?
Oh, that's a good bet.
I mean, let's say Saturn Girl bites it, or he and Saturn Girl didn't work out. They have one more little, you know, interaction. Like he comes back from the future and to help out with something. But there at the end of the series, she decides, like, she and Brainy are like, you know what? We're going to, it's time for us to go.
That is rough. That's a rough bet. Because that's really good. We know he's around.
We know he's around. Wouldn't be the first time Supergirl has decided to leave the present and go hang out with the Legion.
Yeah. I mean, Mon could come back. He has. Oh, that's tough. That's tough. That's actually a really good bet for where this ends, honestly. And just dealing with her being part of the, you know, the 1,000 years from now, the Legionnaires or whatever is actually not a bad out in general.
Mm-hmm.
It beats the hell out of her dying.
Yeah.
Because one of the problems with ending the show is you have to end her potential to affect the other shows.
Oh, God. Crisis changes everything. Mon-El might not even be married.
That's actually a good point. I mean, hell, they could have just had a bad day like a year before the marriage and it, hey, one bad date barrels into the next and they just may not be the same anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are both good points.
Yeah. If the big bad for the season is like Starboy or something and we get to do Supergirl versus mental illness.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and be like, yeah, she's going to the future at the end of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and, if you know, see a Legionnaire or someone tangential to that introduced early, I think that would be a really good call that you're going to win that dollar.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, you know, anybody upset with that notion, nothing about that says that she couldn't come back to the past to stop some monumental thing and another crossover. And they're like, oh, you were in the future. She's like, yeah, and I'm here to tell you about this. We're going to team up, do another. I mean, dude, like,
no, even with the caginess of being able to come back and say, I can't tell you everything. They've right, already introduced that in the show.
A crossover is a couple weeks. You know, she could do that. She could do that, definitely.
Yeah.
And not have to, like, commit to an entire season.
No, it's entirely doable. Also, if we're talking about, like, watching her next year, getting the series wrap up, which is going to be, I think, a little bit longer than the rest of the seasons mm-hmm. that are on the CW right now.
Right now, yeah.
So they're going
to 20 more episodes. 20 yeah, episodes.
They're gonna wrap it up, give her a wider breadth than the rest of their brethren this year, and then, you know, if we're talking about 2022 or 2023, and she reappears in uniform, I'll be fucking stoked about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, now that Crisis has happened, and you know, we've seen John Wesley's ship in full 90s flash. I mean, dude went 30 years. I mean, there's no end to this.
I'm in two. Yeah. Somebody, sorry, I forgot the name. Somebody brought up like Power Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, you know what? That'd be fantastic. Let's actually do Power Girl, but fucking have Benoist play her. Shit, let's just do that instead. Bring her up for a crisis.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Bring them both back. Have them split the screen. It'll be okay. It's not that right. not an expensive effect these days.
No, it's not. It's not terrible. Over to Batwoman. They have cast Leah Gibson and Nathan Owens in recurring roles for season two. Leah Gibson is known for her work on Sacred Lies and Manifest. She's going to be playing Tatiana, who is also known as The Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Described as a skilled assassin, unflappable and cold as ice in the face of danger, she is one of Sophia's most important henchwomen and still harbors feelings for her powerful boss. Owens, who has been on Days of Our Lives, will play Ocean, described as a Zen gardener and thinker with a complicated past, a loyal soldier, and a fighter who moves to Gotham looking for a new beginning.
All right.
I'm down. Whatever.
I'm good. Not sure what to think yep. yet, but I'm good.
So there was a piece, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, but they mentioned a little bit, and it kind of got buried a little bit, but the article says, months after news first surfaced, the filmmaker J.J. Abrams and his team at Bad Robot are in the process of developing a Justice League Dark series for HBO Max, Abrams' new universe may be starting to take shape, now buried in a separate story from THR. I don't know why I said all that. Anyway, so the THR article said, mega producer J.J. Abrams has pitched a tent in the Justice League Dark territory of the DC Universe, working on supernatural shows featuring Constantine and Zatanna, among others. And some people seem to think that means that he's developing a Constantine spinoff and a Zatanna spinoff.
I'm not opposed to either of those things. I just don't like the phrasing about pitching a tent.
Agreed. Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn has been officially renewed for 3 seasons, mm-hmm. Or a third season, I should say, not 3 new seasons, but
those
a
are
third
very different
season.
Things.
Yes, on HBO Max.
Here's one. Here's another. Here's three.
Yeah. This is not a Rick and Morty situation, though. It should be. Damn it. The showrunners
fight it a bit. Yeah.
Schumacher and Halpern were talking to comicbook.com about it, and they said, we have a lot to fill out in the writing staff. Fortunately, quite a few of the writers that were with us for seasons 1 and 2 are available still, possibly to their chagrin. But we are going to be looking for new voices for this season because we have new holes to fill and new points of view that we will be looking for specifically moving forward. I think that's the immediate step in solidifying who our staff is going to be moving forward. They did confirm that the entire main cast is returning.
Nice.
The earliest they could see is a late 2021 premiere.
Fair.
Though they did say that, their head of animation would probably be able to answer that question better.
Also fair.
In regards to some of the subject matter, he says, or they said, I definitely think we're going to see Gordon grapple with his, how should I say it, his low approval in Gotham City. And the low approval of the police department in Gotham City, Halpern said. I think we're going to dive a little more into Ivy's life and then history, origins. I think we're going to do that. I think those are really the only two things we've really kind of hit on so far in our preliminary discussions that were like, yes, definitely want to do those things. He did reiterate that Harley and Ivy will not break up. He says, I know we don't want to do a are they going to break up or are they not going to break up thing. I don't think we want this to be the stakes of the season. I think we want to see, I mean, there will obviously be conflict and tensions between the two of them when certain things go wrong. But I don't think we spent 2 years playing that or 2 seasons. I don't think we want to do that for a third season.
Pam and Jim, gotcha.
So that's what we don't want to do.
It was honestly one of the boring parts of late Office is we spent so much time getting there. And then they just did a lot of teasing about whether they would stay. And I kind of thought, man, I don't want life to be this mercurial. We spent this much time getting here. Let's hang out for a second. Let this be a safe point.
I actually kind of dug that in the final season of The Office that like, oh shit, something's going wrong between those two.
I don't mind some tension for sure, but it was, okay.
But they did also say that they revealed the only characters they will never kill off, for sure. They said, aside from Harley and Ivy, we will never kill Bane.
I'll take that.
They said, we'll kill almost any character that's not Harley or Ivy, but we'll never kill Bane.
I can accept that. If I could add just someone else to that lifeboat, it would be the Riddler, the rash Riddler.
I don't know. I think of every...
I'm thinking of a tiny part that I could maybe add to the lifeboat and it not sink the lifeboat kind of thing.
Yeah, I think... I don't know, man. Bane is so important. He's not really, but he's just too funny.
No, he's just too funny. I just love this take a lot.
Yeah. Neil Gaiman says that the Netflix Sandman will start production in 3 weeks, lockdowns permitting. Mm-hmm. So that means, he said that yesterday on the 27th. So 3 weeks,
which means he has 2 weeks and 6 days to finish tinkering.
Mm-hmm.
So that's apparently what he spent his time doing.
And Batman, the Killing Joke is coming to Netflix on October 15th. So, get your skip button ready so you can skip past that first weird sequence with Batman getting down with Batgirl and then enjoy the rest.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Fun movie, even the additions. But that, I could have gone without that.
Yep. Yep, yep. All right. Well, that's it. That's all I've got.
Hey, look, I'm good.
Cool.
Y'all. I got a lunatic upstairs I got to go wrangle.
Fair enough. And I've got a lunatic in my colon that I need to go wrangle.
Mm.
Help, help.
I think mine's going to be harder. We'll see.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm not rolling you out yet.
I don't know. Text me in an hour and ask me if I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Hey, bud, how you holding up?
I'll just like text back in all lowercase, help. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. You gals too. If we missed anything that you wanted us to talk about, feel free to message us and say, hey, what the hell, man? I thought you guys were supposed to be professionals, and we'll all have a laugh. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take care of it next episode.
That's the formula right there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, ha, 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 we are not professionals.
We accept your criticism. We're good here.
We are barely fashionals.
I don't know what that would mean now that you say it. I don't care.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. You brought this office hell upon me now. Oh, God. Yeah, so thank you for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. And if you want to help out and support us monetarily, Patreon.com/DCOnScreen. And if you want to support us not monetarily, you can always leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And look for the DC On Screen entry that has 100 ratings, because the other one is the one we're trying to get rid of.
It will not let us get rid of.
Mm, we'll see.
There have been a lot of emails.
We'll see about that.
Oh, you got a lead. Good.
Not really.
just ignore that one then.
I just say things like that to try to manifest it. I don't.
Hey, look, good. Good for you.
Anyway.
Positive thinking. I like it.
Yeah.
Don't trust it, but I like it.
Fair enough. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen. How could you not be recording?
One button short. I had everything set up, but right before I did the call, my computer started crashing, so I started closing applications, so I didn't have the window open anymore, and I forgot to hit the record button.
Jason, did you happen to record Skype?
Of course I didn't.
Oh, God.
No.
Okay.
I've never recorded Skype in my life. It's terrible.
Well... We got your surprise. That's the main part. I literally will record what I said, kind of,
uh-huh.
And you can see if you can splice it in if you want. Because it was basically me just saying you had a birthday present for you, and I wanted to stop by and say hi.
Right.
So I'll do that part, and you can splice it in if you want, or and then you can play this if you want. Because this is ridiculous. I'm recording this part. This part I'm recording.
Oh, good.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.